Welcome to the British Chamber of Commerce Singapore's podcast channel. We're excited to bring you season three of new episodes featuring in-depth content across Singapore, ASEAN, and the United Kingdom. We've had some extraordinary guests on our channel, including Formula One's Claire Williams.
I'm a firm believer that any great team, any successful team has a great culture flowing through it. You aren't successful if you don't. So we put a lot of work into this.
Renowned mountaineer Kenton Cool.
That 2019 there with a client, a big storm came in and literally destroyed Camp 2. And I've got some video footage of Sherpas like trying to hold on to the tent fabric as it blows away. And
the Royal Navy's Commodore Steve Morehouse, commander of the UK Carrier Strike Group.
The squadron of F-35 aircraft we have on board is a Royal Air Force squadron, and the personnel in there are drawn from both the Navy and the Air Force. So, you know, what better way of showing just the efficiency and the joined up nature that we now have?
And distinguished Sky News anchor Jeremy Thompson.
We had two little vans with satellite links, and we leapfrogged up the road to Pristina, the capital, throughout that first day, with non-stop coverage from basically inside a war zone.
We also sit down with the likes of TikTok, Twitch, and Twitter, and continue to bring you conversations around business and trade, leadership and people, sustainability, sports and arts, and much, much more. Thank you, as always, for your support, and we hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the first ever edition of Marketing Movers and Shakers, a podcast series featuring some of the most interesting and inspiring marketers and communicators working in Singapore and Asia today. In this series, we want to find out just what makes our guests tick. What's been their career journey so far? What do they think the future holds for the marketing and communications industry here in Asia? And what advice would they give to aspiring marketers and communicators just starting out on their careers? I'm Susie Golding. I'm co-chair of the Marketing and Communications Committee for the British Chamber of Commerce in Singapore, and I'm delighted to welcome our guest today, Guy Middleton, General Manager for Diageo's innovation business in APAC. Guy has been with drinks giant Diageo for at least 15 years. He's had an unusual career path as he's left the company a couple of times and he's come back, so they must be doing something right, and is now in his third stint with the company. Originally from Australia, Guy is general manager for the innovation business here, where the focus is on luxury whiskey with the biggest whiskey brands in the region, being Johnnie Walker, Singleton and Mortlach. Beyond whiskey, Diageo also runs innovation projects on Smirnoff Vodka and Guinness Beer. And the team is spread between the regional office here in Singapore and in China and Australia. Welcome, Guy, and thanks for joining us today.
Lovely to be here.
Great. So I'd like to kick off by asking you, how did you get started in your career?
Yeah, well, I did a degree in hospitality and in marketing with major. And then I was working in bars because I just really liked that lifestyle, and then jumped from behind the bar to in front of the bar, and then started to work as an ambassador for Bacardi at the time. And then working for that company was United Distillers, which was before it became Diageo. And one of the head of the managing director at the time plucked me out of Melbourne and dragged me up to Sydney and said, come and be an assistant brand manager. And that's pretty much how I started my journey in marketing.
Great. And then obviously a bit of a shift sort of from marketing to innovation. And what do you think is the link between the two disciplines, if you like?
Oh, they're very much linked. Marketing is all about really, you know, understanding your brand and your consumer exceptionally well and be able to marry them in a magic way that, you know, constantly excites and delights them and keeps them engaged and coming back to your brand, you know, hopefully loving it as well, even though we know there's not many brands that consumers love these days. But innovation is very, very similar to that. We're creating a product that is hopefully beautifully linked to a consumer need, want or dissatisfaction. And then we try and link that perfectly to the brand. So in effect, they're very much linked. And so anybody having a career in marketing, I highly recommend a stint in just discipline on in innovation, because it really hones your skills of creating the experience that the consumer has on the product level. Obviously, and then that hopefully is such an amazing experience that leads to what the marketing is, and so the touch points lead around that. So I feel they're intrinsically linked.
Great. And when you look back over your career, what are the standout career highs? And then equally importantly, I think, in terms of what how we learn and grow, the lows.
Yeah, I mean, I've had the privilege of working for Diageo three times, and it was United Distillers, and it was Guinness UDV, and then it was Diageo, and I think that is definitely a high for me. It's been an amazing company to work for, and I think this is when, you know, my advice to anybody starting out is find a company that, you know, and a culture and that you love or that you think that works with you. Because in effect, that'll get the best out of you. And so when I was thinking back to that question, it was really around a company like Diageo. Just, you know, I think I always feel like I can do anything in this company, you know. And if I, you know, create an idea or a thought or a business opportunity, I can generally find people to back it. You know what I mean? And that's a real driver for me. So I think that's a real high. I've worked in a more family-led business in William Grant. I've really, really enjoyed that as well. That's a real, they were really passion-led. So the other thing here is, you know, they let me as an IC individual contributor just really follow my passion. And even if it was really small to start with. So I really learned that these family companies, they're really entrepreneurs to start with, even with William Grant is a massive company. The founder at the time, he was an entrepreneur. And so he had that mindset and he wanted people to have that. So that was another real high. I think, you know, the things that I've learned is I've joined other companies where the culture just wasn't me. And I picked it when I was interviewing, but I still went for it. And just trust your intuition. That's the key learning for me is that you're going to spend a lot of time in these companies. You're going to spend a lot of time with people in these companies. And if you are a marketeer, you're generally passion led. And if you don't want to jump out and get into the office and do something magic, you know, because you don't really enjoy being in the space, you're not going to get the best out of yourself and you're not going to be happy. So that's my learning for anybody is just to make sure that you find a place that you feel comfortable and really enjoy working with, and then you can actually, that you'll get the best out of yourself and you'll be doing better work as well.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more on the importance of culture and the working environment, right? Because like you say, it doesn't really matter how wonderful your role sounds on paper. If the working environment and the people around you and the culture around you doesn't fit, you'll always feel like you don't fit within that company.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. You got to find that match. And that's why I've come back to Diageo every time. I never left because I didn't like the place. It's just circumstance. And every time I come back, just sit there and go, oh, that's why I like this place.
Yeah, absolutely testament to their culture there. And I think part of an organization that has a good culture is also really good and strong leaders and mentors. Have there been people that you've worked with, either that you've reported up to or people that you've worked alongside or even people who sit outside of your company but that you consider a really great mentor for work? Who's inspired you throughout your career journey?
Oh, I've had a number of people. Do you want me to name them? I can if I like. But yeah, I mean, there was early on in my career, there's a guy called Andy Gibson who worked in Diageo a number of times, and he was a real inspiration for me. He just gave me enough leash to learn, if you know what I mean. And he gave me enough support. He was always there support. So the other thing here is he gave you the rope for you to swing out. But then even if it went terribly wrong, you know, he'd support you and back you. And that is critical in a boss. You know, you've got to make sure that, or a mentor and a coach, is that they've got your back. You know what I mean? Because on marketing, it's not like, you know, it's not a science, it's an art. I mean, there's a lot of people that think there is a bit of science to it. Don't get me wrong. I do like the Ehrenberg Bass theory, but there's a heap of art that goes along creating spectacular, you know, consumer engagement and on all the touch points. So you got to swing out a bit and then know that you've got somebody at your back. So he was exceptional in that. I've had a number of senior mentors that have just type of peppered, and just that's why I also think for this is try, if you find people that are like, you know, managing directors and the like, you know, that are your sponsors, they really, really help as well. At the right points when you need a career jump, they'll be the ones that'll pull you out. And that's why I got dragged back to Diageo a couple of times, is because one of the senior mentors at one stage has gone, why don't you come and work for me again over here? And that type of, you know, 30,000 feet mentor is also really, really critical in somebody's career path. Now, it's not like you're trying to grease the pole and you don't want to be like, you know, trying to be too unauthentic or inauthentic, whatever the word is, you know, you don't want to be seen as like, you know, just lapping at their feet, but really to make sure that these people understand what you've been doing and that they respect and admire you for that. And those people will really help you in your career. And I can name of a couple there. The guy called John Pelaez was one of them. He was an early stage one of them. Another one was a guy called Pod McLaughlin, and he was working in a company that I didn't really enjoy that much, but he was a breath of fresh air. And he taught me about just giving everything to your people as well. And the people he worked for, he was just tireless in the way that he, just anything and everything was just, he was like your father in a way, but he was also really inspirational as well. But he really taught me, you know, that there is a level of supporting your team no matter what. Now, similar to what Andy Gibson was like, but on a different level, Potty was on that regard. And then I think the other one here is my most recent boss was Michael Ward. And, you know, this, he trusted me as implicitly. And that is, when you find a boss that's like that, it just gives you the freedom. So, you know, he's just letting me run my agenda and just touching base around it. So that, and as you move and get more senior in the business, that really helps as well. If your boss really, really trusts you and can mentor you just, you know, with the right things at the right time, rather than being overbearing. So there's a couple of people in my career. There's many, many, many more other people that have, you know, plucked me out of dark days, and other people that have, you know, helped me shine in certain occasions. So, but a couple that come to mind.
That's great. And it is really testament to how important the people are around you. I read something the other day that, you know, most people leave a role because of bad leadership, or they don't feel like they're supported in that role. So I think that sort of support and that championing, but also being given the space to make mistakes, learn from them, pick yourself back up and go with it, and someone having the trust in you to be able to do that is so important.
Yeah, 100%. You reminded me of one comment I got from a senior leader once. That's when I failed dismally in this thing, because the other thing is, you know, there's many failures in innovation. No, and everyone remembers the successes, not the failures, but I keep reminding people there's plenty of skeletons in my innovation closet. But this was a doozy, and he came up to me, and he's still an awesome bloke, and he's still in the business, and he goes, Guy, you can make a mistake like that, that's no problem. Just don't make two of them. So, but now in effect, that's the other thing here as well. Like, you know, there's a level of, you've got to push out in marketing innovation. You've got to keep trying and testing and experimenting. But exactly, just learn from your mistakes. You'll learn more from your mistakes than you will from your successes, 100%.
Absolutely, couldn't agree more. And working in innovation must be exciting at any time. What do you see coming down the track in your industry as far as innovation is concerned? So within the drinks industry.
We've got a real, Diageo is very good at what we call core innovation. Yeah, we've got big brands. We've got generally very good distribution. We've got enough AMP. We're a bit of a machine. We've been innovating for so long, so we call it the machine in a way. So we're very good at that core closer in innovation. But we've been stretching that to go from what we used to call re-recruit, which is type of just, you know, just keeping the bucket full of consumers, to recruit. So therefore, we want to get new consumers in, because really, you know, take the Ehrenberg Bass model. It's all about penetration, penetration, penetration. You've got to keep getting it in there. So we've been doing a lot of work on that, which is really, you know, paying off. And our pipeline has doubled over the last 10 years in scale. So it's just, you know, that is working for us. And so we're good at that. The thing that we need to do is the and. And we haven't been as good at what we were terming disrupt, but we're calling it breakthrough. Some people call it innovate. You know, whatever your model is, it's really totally new consumers, totally new occasions, totally new business models, and really stretching what our offer is. You know, Diageo, you know, says our company goes, we make lips smile everywhere around the world. That's our company. You know, a bit cheesy, but it's type of it. Well, the thing is, it doesn't have to be an actual physical product, right? So, but it is something that is the DNA of the company, but the company's DNA could be wider than its current scope. So what we're looking to do now is, for us, is to break out of that. And, you know, we've got some core themes that we're working around. You know, obviously, you know, digital is a big one. What is the digital experience that we can bring? You'll see so many experiments we're starting to play into that space. And that's all now considered part of innovation. So we're looking at, you know, non-alc, and that's a huge space for us. Now, of course, that's into the product, but it moves into the experience as well. And then how we deliver into that space. We're looking at sustainability in a really interesting way. So new business models, thinking about, you know, our current, you know, glass shipped around the world, you know, that type of model is, you know, been around for hundreds of years. We need to break that, pardon the pun, don't break the bottles, but we need to work out the way that we can actually offer a new product experience that fulfills the sustainability lens. So we're doing a lot of work in those areas as well. And then luxury is the other one. And at the minute, we're very good at the luxury product. We're trying to move that into the luxury experience. And then you take all of that together and you try, like, great innovation is a collision of many ideas. So we're looking at, you know, colliding those thoughts, and therefore trying to create something that might be digital experience, luxury, and sustainability all together. You know what I mean? And then those are where we're getting excited. So we're now in that space of assessing where we can really step change that. And then, you know, really stretching what our business stands for in that regard. So that's a core area for us, because, as I said, we're good at the core, but in effect, that's only going to take us so far. For our next stage of real growth, we need to break out of that. And so that's a key area, all those multitudes of areas, and we're putting quite a bit of resource behind that, which is not our normal business model. So we're thinking different ways to operate, you know, to develop, to test, to learn, to experiment, to scale. And within that, try and give it, what should we say, you know, like some lovely gloves, so it doesn't get ruined by the big business, which is great. Our business is an awesome business, but in effect, you know, it's impatient. It doesn't really want to wait, and we need to cocoon these ideas to make sure that they have a chance to grow. And that's really what's the big shift for us in innovation.
I love the way that you view innovation as everything from how the business operates, how you're delivering business, not just on product, and the growth and that importance of experience, not just that brand, that thing that you drink, but what surrounds that to encourage people to, like you said, particularly new, how do you get new customers in? What's different for them to try and experience through a particular brand?
Yeah, 100%. Experience is everything as well now as well. Like, you know, the thing is, if you said your product was a subset of the total experience, that's the way we need to look at it now. Mm. And you're just going, wow, we're doing this amazing thing. And by the way, you just had, oh, by the way, there's also this product thing that you get at the end. You know, if we can think, and that's what we're trying to think like that more, as opposed to what we've been good at is, oh, here's the product. We really need to blow that right out and really think end to end. What's the consumer really going to be going, wow, that's amazing? And then, by the way, this is a great product, and gee, it tastes good as well, you know, that type of thing. So, you know, that's the type of lenses we're starting to really trying to crack into. And there might not even be a bottle and a product at the end, you know. all the digital and experience spaces, you know, there is a way that we can create something that's spectacular. The new Johnny Walker House in Edinburgh, I'm not sure if you've heard about it, but the experience that the team have created there is just second to none, I think, in the alcohol industry. But really, you can buy a bottle at the end, but really it's about this experience that you will go into, and you'll have a wonderful time, and you'll learn something, and hopefully in the end you'll think that, you know, Johnny Walker's moved a little bit further up your list of loved brands, you know. So you know, I think that's just one element, but it's like there's so much more we can do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know the Johnny Walker House has been a concept that's been around for a while, so it's lovely to hear that that is continuing to evolve. So you're using the sort of the basic concept, but building on that all of the time and keeping it relevant and keeping it fresh.
Yeah, totally.
So you've been in the innovation space for quite some time. So how do you stay up to date with what's happening? What sort of, have you found that you've had to update your skill set? And if you have, what have you found useful and helpful in helping you do that?
The first thing I do always, which was this other lovely boss of mine, Fiona Bills at William Grant, she said, she told me hire people that are very different than you. And then Andy Gibson told me hire people that are much more intelligent than you, even though he was very intelligent. So I've always had that in my team. I make sure I hire a span of thinkers. And then also I hire what I hope is hugely talented people that have real passions and energy that I try and get the best out of them. So like I've got, you know, and then what I try to do is make sure the team can all feed off each other, if you know what I mean. Because look, I'm old now. I'm type of like, you know, I'm not the young spring chicken I was now. So there's just, I need people to inspire me and keep me fresh and relevant when on top of juggling so many different things. So what I do is I make sure that in my team, I have people that are really hot on culture, really hot on digital, really big on product experience. They've got amazing ways to think about, you know, creative writing, you know, people that are really interested in design, really interested in liquid tech and stuff like that. So then what I try and do is I don't try to know everything myself. That's the, you know, I just try and facilitate to get the best out of them. And then I just provide them air cover, support, resources, and structure. That's the other thing I try to provide, because I think always creativity loves a tramline. So I try to give the structure for them to create within, but then they can bounce around as much as they like, you know. So how do I do it? As I said, I try and hire the best people I possibly can and grow them and keep them with me as long as I can. So, but apart from that, I try and read, you know, different things, you know, different articles, and try and keep up to date. But I must admit, there's so many of them that I sometimes find the best thing for my brain is to rest it. And therefore, if I rest it, I'm more open to absorb things when people are coming to me with stuff, because, you know, I'll have all the team members coming to me with this and that. And then what I'm trying to do is when they're coming to me with these ideas is trying to find the magic they're coming to me with and just help them sharpen it a little, you know. That's the piece I do. Rather than trying to know everything, I just sit there and go, what's your singular thought? Where's the magic here? And try and help them articulate that whilst also keeping them really inspired and excited about the creative space that they're innovating into. So to tell you the truth, I'd probably put my hand up to say I'm not as up to date on half the things that I'd love to do, but what I do is I get really, you know, hot talent in to make sure that the agenda is what it is, because in my role it's all about your team. You know, I need this team of people to be able to, you know, I call them the crack innovation squad, because they're type of like they're Zendoyans of the space. And then, as I said, I just provide them the structure and the guidance, the support, and you know, if they want me to dig in and try and help, you know, crack something, I will. I'll get right in the trenches with them as well, and we'll create together. But a lot of the time, I'm with them for inspiration. But yeah, that's probably it. But I do read. I try to read quite a bit. I'm interested in things, but I wouldn't say I'm the, you know, I'm doing courses for this, and I don't go out and do stuff like that. But as I said, I try and find, when I'm recruiting somebody, I try and find somebody with real, real pointy edge on something that I think is going to bring a heap into the team. And then I just make sure that they are well positioned within the team to get the best out of them.
Yeah, there is a lot of content out there, isn't there, which can be overwhelming if you're trying to read a lot or keep up with a lot or listen to a lot. And I do think that by surrounding yourself with inspiring people who bring different mindsets, different points of view, different skill sets to solving a challenge or finding a solution to something, that's where you really learn, I think, rather than courses and more sort of structured training. Sometimes it's just listening to other people and absorbing some of the way that they're thinking, and seeing things with a fresh perspective. Because I think that's the other thing, when you've been in a career for a long time or a good stretch of years, you know, there's always that risk that you only consider your own point of view and your own approach to something. So surrounding yourself with a team of people who think very differently to you and bring something to the table is so important.
100%.
So if you were to give some tips to young marketers just starting out on their career, what would you advise them?
This is a good one. So I think the first thing is follow your passion. I remember when I did have that chance to get a job, it was solving a tin tomato issue for, I won't say the company. And then the other one was to be this brand ambassador going around bars. And I just come from bars, you know, promoting this wonderful product in a convertible Mustang. And I was like, well, yeah, it was pretty easy choice at the time. But in effect, the thing for me that really helped was, if you're a marketeer, you've got to be passionate about what you're creating, in my mind. And I don't say that, you know, you just have to have, you know, a convertible Mustang and be running around bars and stuff like that. But whatever your passion is, if you've got to find something that you're passionate about, so try and find one that you're passionate about. The other one, if you are, I still believe there's some of the best marketing companies. A good grounding early in your marketing career helps, right? If you are a very early marketer, if you can get on a management trainee program, or you can do something which is type of, it'll give you a wider scope, because you'll be going through a couple of different departments. You'll be in a very structured organization that'll have clear marketing materials and tools that you can learn from. And they're good marketing companies, so they'll have mentors that you can look and understand. That's the other thing, is find people that you think are brilliant and try and unpick what's good about them. So rather than try and learn a textbook and say, this is how you do marketing, look for inspiring leaders to learn from. So and you'll find more of them in some of the bigger companies, if you know what I mean, because you've got a better stretch for you to look at. So a couple of years in a big marketing company, then you can go out and do things. I mean, obviously that's not for everyone, but that would be, when I look at I think some of the people I pull in, they've done many different things, but if they've had a good grounding, it really just helps them be a more, they've got a good base, if you know what I mean, to build and become wherever they want to go. The other one I've got down here, so there's definitely be passionate. And then the other one I've got down is be brave. So you're early in your career. If you are somebody that has passion and energy, you'll get somebody that wants you in the business. And then be brave in a way that shows what you are capable of, in a way. Because I think in this early stage in your career, I always believe you've got to have, you know, something that you've tested and learned, and it's really done something that's quite interesting. Because in effect, you're young, you should have new thinking, you should be fresh and alive. So be brave. You'll take that through your career. It's just a matter of, you know, when you're, the further up you get, you've got to be you got to do the brave things probably in a more far more measured way. But early in your career, swing out. Don't be, you know, just make sure you've got something that when you've finished your ABM and you become a BM and stuff like that, you've got something that you can stand on and go, wow, that was pretty cool. You might have a whole lot of things that have failed and terrible, but you'll have a couple of things that you'll sit there and go, I'm really proud of that. And that really pushed me and pushed the business and, you know, and pushed the brands forward. So, and that's the other thing here is early in career, you try and deliver some results that are, you know, outstanding. So, you know, you're young, get in there, work hard, you know, work smart, but, you know, deliver results. Because if you put that, if you've got something in your early career path that you've learning from mentors, so you're understanding what makes you, for you, you could sit there and say, I find this person inspirational. Not you want to mimic, you just want to codify what makes them great. Are they great at painting the picture of the future? Are they great at, you know, articulating brand strategy? Are they great at, you know, creative, you know, dissecting creative, packaging, whatever it is, find out what it is. Then create something yourself. And then once you've got something yourself to hang on to, you sit there and you go, wow, yeah, I did that, you know. And I look back at my career and I go, there was one thing I did well when I was young. And I was like, you know, I still, even when I talk to my old people at Diageo, that's the thing they remember. They don't remember all of the failures and the stuff that's in the closet and stuff like that. They just go, oh, yeah, you did that. That was amazing. You know, that's what you want to have early in your career, just something that can punctuate, that lifts you up to the next level, yeah? And then as you move through your career, think of those times when, of course, there'll be some bits where you're just, you know, you're going through and you're doing the right stuff. But always make sure you're pushing out to create something that punctuates your career, yeah? And it's something you did, yeah? Something that you've done and you've created with a team. So early on, because it's generally comes down to you, don't give everything to an agency all the time. Don't abscond the work. You do the thinking, yeah? So often it's like, oh, I'll get the agency to do that. I'll get the agency to do that. Sit down and work it out yourself. It's not that hard. You've got a brain on yourself. Just get out there and work out what is the consumer and brand connection and how you're going to do something exciting. You might need to write the brief to inspire the agency, but a great brief helps a long, long way. Being able to understand what your consumer is, what you're asking the agency to do. You know, that the magic of a great brief really helps. So as I said, you don't have to do everything, but make sure you've done the thinking, yeah? And then you can stand back. And then when you are talking to people as you're moving through your career, you can talk brilliantly about this piece of work that is a real highlight, and you'll be able to contextualize it well. You'll be able to bring out the points that you've done, and you'll be able to say why it was successful, because it's successful in the end. So that would be my early stage one here. And then also, as I said, these people that are your mentors, you know, find them, and exactly, they're the ones that'll help you as well as you grow. The last one I had here was have fun. You know, it's marketing. You know, don't. It's not, we're not, you know, rocket science. I'm sure rocket scientists have fun, but you know, it's, you know, we're in a marketing industry. You know, we're supposed to, you know, create great experiences for people out there. So in whatever industry it is, you know, that's what you're trying to do. So you've got to have a bit of fun. And so be authentic, be, you know, self-effacing, you know, have a laugh. But, you know, do it in the way is right for you. That's the other thing, you know, be authentic. You know, be yourself, and I think that'll really help you as you grow into your career.
Fabulous advice there, thank you. And if you were to revisit yourself when you were first starting out, what advice would you give to yourself that's any different from what you've sort of learned through your experience over the years?
You've got to learn to be a little humble. I think I look back and I think, yeah, there was some elements in my career where I probably thought I was better than I was, and I thought I would have the idea. So the other thing here is be humble and listen. So the thing is, exactly, I want you to be, if you're young, you've got to be passionate, you've got to be brave, you've got to get out what you think. But then if somebody's telling you something and you're not listening, and you respect them and you think that they're providing good advice, listen and pivot. So I think early in my career, I didn't listen as well as I could have, and I probably wasn't as humble as I should be, as I am now. And the other thing here is that I was less malleable to pivot. And then the only advice from that one, and you learn this over time, like it's a bit hard because, you know, you've got to have conviction of your thinking, yeah? Otherwise, you don't want to be considered spineless. You just got to actually have this. That's what your drive and your passion, your energy is about. But then in effect, there's some magic when you can actually go, that's a really interesting bit of feedback there. How do I actually, if I did that, my idea gets better. My thinking gets better. So anytime you're hearing something, play that through before you go and discard it and put it in the bin and say, they don't know what they're talking about. Go, if that was true, what would it mean? And then, you know, have that ability to, as I said, you know, change course and build. Obviously, you don't want to lose your initial creative thought or your initial strategic thought, but, you know, you just sit there and go, okay, play the scenario out before you discard. And as I said, and then be, as I said, that leads you to a level of being more humble in your state. But it's a bit harder. You've got to balance that one. But maybe the best advice is listen with two ears, you know. So get your idea across, but then listen with two ears for feedback and get feedback from people you really respect. And that'll help you shape what you're trying to achieve. Yeah.
Listening is a much underrated skill in business, I think. Great. So our final question for you, Guy, is usually you're based in Singapore. So yep. What would be your favorite Singapore secret that you could share with listeners that they might not know? And it can be somewhere, it could be a bar, given the industry you're in, or a restaurant, or something that you like to do in Singapore that other people might not know about.
Oh, wow. I mean, I have to say it has to be the food. I mean, you know, don't get me wrong. The bars are amazing. But if you think Singapore, I just think food more than anything else. And so, yeah, I've got many, many haunts. But and, you know, I love the hawkers. I've got lots of favorites in my hawker centers. But probably the one that continues to be a legend, and it's moved like three different locations, and it's not that expensive, but it's a place, it's now in Hong Kong, it's in Hong Kong Square, I think, and it's called Bipu Menken, and it does this thing called Onyama chicken. So it's like a karaji chicken, so the fried Japanese chicken, but then they put it in this type of hot ramen sauce, and you can get X number of chilies to put with it, right? And so you try and the legend here is like, even so, Andy Gibson's coming to town in August, right? He's so excited that the place is still open, so we're going to go there and have our Onyama chicken. And the other thing here is then obviously there's the how many chilies can you take, because it gets very hot, but it's a really spicy broth with with noodles, and then you put the karaji chicken in it, which is just, and it's just spectacular. But it's a total, you can't really taste anything for another day or something after that. but I think that's that. I was thinking back to that. And look, there's a lot of high end experiences I love, but I think the main ones for me is, you know, if I think of some of the best occasions I've had, they're generally at the hawker or just above occasion in Singapore, because that's the magic of this place. So do yourself a favor, go and get a bowl of Onyama chicken at Bipu Menken, and enjoy it with the bottomless lime juice and see how many chilies you can have. If you, I can do four. It goes to 10. I go four.
Wow.
A friend of mine can do six. There's a lovely managing director of Southeast Asia, Pretty. I think her Indian background helps, but she can do seven. And but you know, four is like you're going for. Normally people go for two, but it is amazing, and highly enjoyable, probably not good for the waistline, it is spectacular.
It sounds great, and it's not one that I've been to before, so I'm definitely going to check it out. Although I don't think I'll be able to do many chilies I might be able to push to four, possibly.
Let's see how you go. See how you go. It's nothing flash though, but it's just type of anyway, it's one of the ones I love actually.
It sounds great. Thanks for sharing that with us. Guy Middleton from Diageo, thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, thanks, Susie. Pleasure to hopefully help guide some of the young marketers of the future. And if they want to just ping me on LinkedIn, just do that. I'm happy to have chats with anybody about their career.
Cool. Sounds great. Thank you.
All right. See you, Susie. Bye-bye.
Bob, thanks, Guy. Take care.
See you, Jen. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of the British Chambers podcast. Before you go, don't forget to subscribe, and why not leave us a rating and review on Spotify, Apple, Google, and the other podcast platforms. For more information, please visit our website at www.britcham.org.sg and tune in next time for a brand new episode.